verses 1 through 5, it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God when I serve with a pure, read this again, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Greatly I desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most precious word.
Amen.
Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask his help as we look into his word this morning. Father, we are here. We have gathered to worship. We desire to glorify you. Father, we know that we are weak, fallible people. We need your help. We need your spirit to open our ears and our eyes this morning to your truth. And Father, we consider it a privilege to speak of mothers today. Lord, help us. We pray, God, that you will change us, you will transform us. Father, you will bring us near to yourself. So, Father, that we will be different people. People that will shine forth the light of the gospel. People that will show your greatness in our lives, in our relationships. People who will declare your gospel through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us, Lord, we pray. To you be glory and honor. In the name of Jesus we pray now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it just seems right to let the day dictate our study in the Word of God. Recently, we've been looking at a study of the church, the body of Christ. And yet, when I thought about Mother's Day, and we don't do this all the time with special days, we don't zero in on certain topics, but yet it seemed to be the right thing this day. So this morning, I'd like to consider mothers. On several occasions this past week, I asked people in our church, and when I say people in our church, I mean little people, small people. Tuesday, I get visitors in my office, and I was able to ask them some questions. Wednesday, after Truth Trackers, I was able to ask them some questions. And so I asked them to describe their mothers with just a few short words, few words. Here's how they did it. I like mom's kisses. My mom helps me. My mom is very patient. My mom is kind. My mom is loving. Mom's always there. Mom works hard. Mom is busy. Mom has a great smile. Mom's nice. Mom cooks pancakes. Mom does Bible study. I love my mom. Without batting an eye, I can stand before you this morning, and I can say that there is no person on earth who has more influence on people than a mother. And I know how important that we think that presidents and prime ministers and generals and scientists and politicians and business people are, but none can compare to the lasting, permanent influence of a mother. And the fact is, if we think about this morning, all of us have been influenced by our mothers. Every one of us. And whether good or bad, a mother's mark is never erased in our lives. And yet, folks, we live in a society that tries to downplay and to minimize the role of mothers and fathers in the home. And I will simply say this to you this morning. Don't believe what you hear and see from the media. Don't pay attention to what the world says about motherhood. Because in spite of what we may hear, the role of mother is one of most dignified and influential and rewarding in all the world. And God has not left us without teaching in His Word about this very, very important person that we call mom. There are many examples from the Word of God found throughout the Scripture, many examples of godly mothers. And it's these godly women that we can learn how that they change the lives of their children. So this morning, I want you to consider with me a man whose life and service to God was directly influenced by his mother. Now, his name is Timothy. And we don't hear much about Timothy's mother. We do hear a lot about Timothy, and especially his older friend and his co-worker, the Apostle Paul. Remember, it was Timothy who traveled with the Apostle Paul. It was Timothy who started churches with Paul. It was Timothy who was Paul's representative in many young and troubled churches. It was Timothy who Paul wanted at his side when death was near. And we can say that Timothy then was a faithful servant. He was used by God. He was an instrument in the hands of God. And yet, behind Timothy, there was a godly mother. And she was a mother of influence. Would I say, could I say, should I say that we need Timothys today? We need mothers like Timothy's mother. And so, mothers, I speak to you this morning, and I speak with all respect, with all joy, and all love and thankfulness to God for you. And I would put before you this question this morning. How can you be a mother of influence? Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, that's where we'll start. In Acts chapter 16. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. We ask the question, how can you be a mother of influence? And I would say, first of all, it starts with salvation. It starts with salvation. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Luke writes here, he's describing the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul is sharing the gospel throughout Asia Minor. We zero in a specific place where Paul has arrived by the grace of God. Luke writes and he says, then he, that's Paul, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Notice that the very first mention of Timothy in the New Testament is found in conjunction with his mother. And in this first mention, we're not even told her name. Paul says that she was a Jewish woman who believed. We'll go there in just a few minutes, but we have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verses that Brother Dave read earlier to actually find out her name, and her name is Eunice. So we're told here in Luke's record that she was a Jewish woman who believed. So here was a woman, think about this, here was a woman who had turned from unbelief and had trusted Jesus Christ as her God and Savior. We don't know the occasion of her salvation. We know that when Paul traveled through Asia Minor, he was traveling to places, to people who had never heard the gospel. Perhaps she heard the gospel during Paul's first visit to Lystra. Perhaps both she and her mother, Lois, had received Christ at this time. But the fact is this, that they were saved. They had placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They were Christians. Now, it even appears from Luke's record, and then even as we look at Paul's record later, it appears that Timothy's father was not an influence. That doesn't mean that fathers should not or could not or absolutely should be an influence in the lives of their children. It doesn't mean that mothers are more important. We'll talk about fathers here in a few weeks. But in Timothy's case, we're reminded here that his father was Greek. He was a Gentile. Luke uses past tense. This past tense was may reveal. Luke doesn't go into detail here. It may reveal that perhaps he was even deceased, because Paul doesn't talk about him later in 2 Timothy. We find in 2 Timothy that it was the faith of Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, that really influenced him. So Timothy's life was different because Timothy's mother was a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why we say this is where we start. When we speak to mothers this morning, this is where we start. Now, I can't speak for you mothers this morning, and I can't say for sure what a mother's desire most for their children. I would guess it might be things like love and safety and security and happiness and success, and those are wonderful, blessed things. They're good things. But I would stand before you this morning and say that the best thing that a mother can give her child or her children is a mother who knows Christ. It's a mother who has God's spiritual, eternal life, a mother who knows the forgiveness of sins, and a mother who's placed her faith in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. That's where you begin. And folks, let's face it, that's the key to marriage. That's the key to a home, to a family. A Christian mother is a mother who can share Christ, a mother who can pray, a mother who can teach God's truth, and a mother who can model God's love. I thank God for my mother. Spoke to her yesterday. It's always a joy to speak to Mom and Dad on the weekends. I thank God for my mother. When I think back, it was my mother who told me about Jesus. It was my mother who read the Word of God to me. It was my mother who prayed for me. It was my mother who knew the Lord and shared knowledge about the Lord with me. You see, my father didn't become a Christian until later in life. And so God used my mother in my life. There is nothing more valuable, more important in the life of a child than a godly mother. It took many, many years for my dad to share his experiences from the Korean War. And to say the least, his life was changed by that war. When that 19-year-old boy found himself in a foreign land among people that he could not understand, facing an enemy that was very close to pushing he and his fellow soldiers off that peninsula, his life was changed. His life was dramatically changed by that experience. I remember asking Dad about experiences in the war, and it took him many, many years before he would talk about it. And yet when I ask him how he made it through the war, he always gives God glory first. Always. God protected me. God watched over me. It was the grace of God that kept me. But he never, ever fails to say this: my mom was praying for me. Ma was praying. I've never had to face the bullets of an enemy on this earth, but I have faced some spiritual battles. And I can tell you that I have a Christian mother who still blesses my heart when she says to me, "Son, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." What a blessing! What a joy that God has given me a mother who prays for me. And I honestly cannot imagine a father or a mother who could not pray for their children and tell them of Jesus. And so, mothers, as clear as I can say this morning, if you want to influence and change the lives of your children, no matter where you are in motherhood, whether old or young or in between, make sure that you know Jesus. Because a mother of influence follows Jesus. Now turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Because we also see that a mother of influence has a genuine faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Paul here is writing to Timothy and he's reminding Timothy of who Timothy is and Timothy's faith. And I believe it just brings a blessing to Paul's heart as he writes to this man and he considers how God has used him in his life. In verse 5 he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So as Paul writes and he remembers Timothy, he brings to mind the man's roots, his spiritual heritage. And he remembers Timothy's genuine, sincere, one translation says, unfeigned faith. And Paul remembers that same genuine, sincere faith was a characteristic of Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. This word that he uses, genuine faith, sincere faith, it means unhypocritical. You see, a hypocrite is one who says one thing and lives another. And therefore, when Paul says it's unhypocritical, this is one who says and lives the same thing. We could put it this way. We've got a common phrase that says, practice what you preach. That's what he means. You say it and you live it. Their faith was unhypocritical. Now, here's another way to understand that or to think about that. Timothy's mother was a real Christian. She was the real deal. She had genuine faith, sincere faith. Her faith was solid. It was steadfast. It was sure. If we look at that word, the word that Paul uses to explain Timothy's faith, which was affected by his grandmother and mother, then we could say that what she said with her lips, she lived with her life, and to the core of her being, she was real. She was genuine. And so listen carefully, moms. You'll be one of the most strongest and visible examples of true flesh and blood Christianity that your kids will ever see. Now, the church or a Christian school or Christian friends may share the truths of Christian living. They may be encouragements to your children. They may in some ways be models, but day in and day out, your children will see you. And God has placed you there for that reason. And what they need to see, using the language of the Apostle Paul here, what they need to see is an unhypocritical faith. I read this little story about three scholars who were discussing the merits of certain Bible translations. And one said that he preferred the King James Version because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. Another said that he preferred the New American Standard Bible for its literalism and the way that it moved readers from one passage to another passage with confident accuracy. And after giving it some thought, the third scholar said, "Well, I have personally preferred my mother's translation." And the other scholars did exactly what you just did. They kind of chuckled and laughed. And then he responded very seriously, "Yes, my mother translated the Bible. She translates every page into life, and it was the most convincing translation that I ever saw." You see, folks, that is the function, that is the responsibility, but the great joy of mothers. Mothers, your children need to see a real, living, practicing faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's another word for that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verses 9 and 10, because Paul here describes Christian women, gives some descriptions here of Christian women, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And notice what he says. He says, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing," look at this, "godliness." Women professing godliness with good works. And so, mothers, we can say it's by your godly life, your obedient walk, your good works, that you will impact others. A mother of influence has a sincere, genuine, unhypocritical faith. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's another characteristic. A mother of influence will make Scripture a priority. Scripture is a priority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me at verses 14 and 15. Paul says to Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So when Paul wrote these words to Timothy, he emphasized the importance of the Word of God in the life of the believer. And you know, we memorize these following verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We look at the importance of the Word of God, or the sufficiency of the Word of God. We memorize that. We understand that. We realize it. But we look at it in its context. Here's the context. See, look closely at where Timothy received the Word of God, which led to salvation. Verse 14 says, Paul says to him, "Knowing from whom you have learned them." Now, I think that had to include Paul, because Paul discipled him. He was with Paul. He served with Paul. He labored with Paul. They spent time together. And so there was the Word of God was there. Paul was no doubt sharing it, discipling, helping Timothy to continue to grow. But, oh, folks, I believe it also included his mother and his grandmother. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, Paul says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." This word childhood literally means infancy. Infancy. And so it was in the arms of his mother that Timothy first heard the Word of God that would lead to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, it was no doubt at the knees of his mother and his grandmother that he was taught truth that would lead him to God. And this word that was given to Timothy by his grandmother and his mother would bring him to salvation and make him mature and bring him to completeness. Paul says in verse 17 that the Word of God will complete us. It will thoroughly equip the man of God, or the woman of God, or the person of God for every good work. And so, mothers, never, never underestimate the time that you spend teaching your children the truth of God's Word. Don't leave it to the Sunday school. Don't leave it to truth trackers. Don't leave it to youth ministry workers. And you know, all these ministries are important and they're needed. It's part of what the church does, and the church should do that. But the most effective teaching comes from you. Comes from you, mothers. Yes, it comes from you, fathers. We'll talk about fathers in a few weeks. To this day, one of the fondest memories that I have is lying in bed with my mom when I was about 5 or 6 years old and listening to her read the Bible to me. And in my mind right now, I still see that big old family Bible that she would bring out, and I would be beside her and she would read from the Word of God. And I was fascinated not only by what she was reading, but in that old family Bible, there were these marvelous pictures drawn of these events from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and it's like God just took that and stuck that in my mind. What a blessing it was that my mom read the Word of God to me. And I'll never, ever forget my grandmother faithfully gathering those grandkids who were staying with her around her couch, and she would sit on that couch and she would open the Word of God and she would read the Word of God with us, and then she would gather us all around and she would get on her knees and we'd get on our knees, and then she would pray. And she would lift up people in prayer, and she would, this can't leave my mind, she would pray for me. She would pray for those other grandkids. See, my grandmother was a follower of Jesus Christ, and I knew she was a follower of Jesus Christ. And I knew it, the way that she lived and the way that she responded to me. She knew Jesus, and I knew she knew Jesus. So mothers, the Word of God will only be as important to your children as it is to you. A mother of influence will make Scripture a priority. And then finally, a mother of influence practices sacrificial living. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 16. The mother of Timothy made sacrifices for her son, and God blessed that. So we step back and we ask ourselves, well, what kind of sacrifices? Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, Eunice was a Jew who had put her trust in Jesus Christ. Now think about that just for a moment. Because that in itself probably brought persecution and alienation from her friends and family. She was a Jew, and yet she put her trust in Jesus. She became a follower of Jesus Christ. And then what's more, she married a Gentile. She married a Greek, a non-Jew. And though this was accepted in Greek society, it was not accepted by the Jews. And what makes it even more difficult, there is no record in the Scripture of her husband's faith. Even with the possibility that perhaps he died when Timothy was young. So Timothy followed the faith of Lois and Eunice. So consider this now this morning. Here was a Jewish mother living in a male-dominated Greek society with no help but her mother and perhaps some believers in the small church in Lystra. This mother would then raise her son to be a godly, faithful servant and follower of Jesus Christ. And I would say to you this morning that this took diligence and commitment and personal sacrifice to bring that boy up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But Eunice did it. Eunice did it. And I would add to you that the only way that Eunice could do it was in the strength and the power that God gave her. That's the only way she could do it. And yet we ask ourselves, perhaps we ask ourselves in her place, was it worth it? Was it worth the labor? Was it worth the sacrifice? Was it worth the work? Was it worth all those things, Eunice? Chapter 16, verse 1, Luke tells us that Timothy was a disciple of Jesus. If that's all there was, that would have been worth it. He was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus. It was worth it. Verse 2, Luke says that Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren. What that means is that somehow he was actively involved in this group of believers so that they knew him. They knew his life. They knew his actions. He was well spoken of by those believers in that little church. Verse 3 tells us that Timothy was chosen by Paul to be one of his helpers, to be one of his assistants. Think about it. Of all the believers that Paul could have picked, he chose Timothy. And folks, Timothy did not get there by accident. he would now be used by God with the Apostle Paul to spread the good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ because his mother was willing to sacrifice. His mother was willing to trust God. His mother was willing to depend upon God. And I would say to you that Eunice knew what Paul's choice meant. She knew what Paul faced as he shared the gospel. She knew the hardships and the troubles and the threat of death, but there is absolutely no record or a hint of Eunice hindering her son's spiritual growth or service for Jesus Christ. You see, she had prepared him well to serve the Lord, and now, by the grace of God, she let him go. Paul said, I need you. I want you to come with me. She let him go. There are many, many sacrifices that mothers make for their children. And many of those sacrifices are for their physical and material needs. And yes, these things are important. But I want you to think about this, that Eunice sacrificed for a spiritual, eternal reason. She sacrificially gave her son instruction, an example for Christian living, and then gave her son himself so that others might know of Jesus. Mothers, are you willing to prepare your children for service? Are you willing to give your children to the Lord? A mother of influence will make sacrifices. I firmly believe that one of the most powerful, life-changing, influential people in this world is a godly Christian mother. There is no one more important. There's no one with a higher calling. God uses mothers and fathers to raise up a generation of sons and daughters by the grace of God who will know God and follow Jesus. You know, we may not hear too much about Eunice. Maybe I've spoken about her before. Maybe you've studied some detail about Eunice. We may not hear too much about this mother Eunice, but I thank God for the record of Eunice that we find in His Word. Because through the pages of Scripture, get this now, folks, her influence continues today. Her influence continues today. Eunice was a mother of influence. So, mothers, I end with this question. How will you influence your children? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity to look at specific truth from your word concerning this mother named Eunice. Father, we realize there's not a lot there, but what is there is rich. We thank you for her example. Thank you for her life and for the influence upon her son and even the influence, the record of this mother continues today. Father, thank you. That's a gift of your grace. Father, I ask that you work in the hearts of mothers here today, but God, not just limited to mothers, in all of our hearts today, that we would turn closer, move closer and closer to you by the work of your grace in our lives. And God, see the great responsibility that you have given mothers and fathers. And God, even as we've heard earlier, it's short. Our contact with our children doesn't last long in the home. And they go. And they start new homes. And yet, God, we just commit them to you. Trusting you to work in their hearts, to remember what they've heard, remember what they've seen. God, thank you for for the salvation of our children. Thank you for the spiritual growth. And God, even those who are still wandering, who are going their own way, God, we trust you to bring them back. We thank you for our mothers. And God, if they still be with us, we praise your name. If they're not, and they follow Jesus, we look forward to when we will see them again. Amen. And God, we give you glory and thanks and praise for these precious gifts of our moms. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.